Glad you're here this morning. We've been talking about the resurrection. We're going to be in the book of Romans this morning. We're going to look at chapter 4. The title of the sermon would be, "You've Got to Have a Credit of Righteousness." This is a long title. You got that? "You've got to have a credit of righteousness where I'm going." You know what a credit card is, a debit card is? That when you scan that credit, you have to have a credit of righteousness where I'm going. There has to be a debt that had to have been paid because of sin in our lives, and Jesus Christ paid that debt. And we're going to look at this and how it relates to the resurrection of Jesus in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 is where we're going to start at this morning. Starting with verse 13, Romans chapter 4, and it's going to storm because I'm not using the King James Version. I'm going to use the NIV this morning. So everybody knows that I'm a King James. I just like using the King James, but God really laid it on my heart to use this. Man, John was talking about this before out of my sermon last Sunday. He, in the ESV, it used the word guarantee. Was that all right, John? And in the King James Version of the word was earnest, like if you put forth like a down payment, you put down earnest money toward that, correct? And then there's a guarantee that deal is going to go through, that loan is going to be secured. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is that guarantee that is there for each one of us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 14 through 25, we're going to read this, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue. "It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received," what? "The promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value. And the promise is," what? "Worthless. Because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression." In other words, if there's not a... what is that highway over in Europe that has no speed limit?
Autobahn.
What?
Autobahn.
There's no speed limit, so there's no law there. You can drive just as fast as your old Nissan will run, right?
Or slow
as it'll run. There's no law there. And it says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. But we have the law today, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God shows us that we are in need of a Savior, and that we have sins. And the sin factor had to be dealt with because there was a law. There was a speed limit sign. Verse 16 reads, "Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by" what? "Grace. And it may be" what?
Guaranteed.
"To all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham." I can't even get it out. What kind of children are we? We're God's children. We're of the faith of Abraham, are we not? He is the father of us all. "It is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were." Did you catch that? He gives life to the dead and things are suddenly not as they used to be. Verse 18 says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed,
And he so became the father of many nations. And just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. And he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That is why it was what credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to continue. Father, we just come before you this morning, and I just give you praise, Lord, for the resurrection. Father, I praise you for that unconditional love, Lord, that you have given to each one of us, Lord, if we'll just receive it. Father, I thank you for the power and the might, Lord, that you have, and for those promises, Lord, that you keep, Lord. And I pray as we look into your word this morning that, Father, you would lead me and guide me and direct me, Lord, and just, Father, may your spirit abound in this place this morning. And may we absorb what you have for us in your word, Lord, and take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Father, may it be all about you, in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 25 says that he was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. There had to be something done about sin. It could just not be ignored. It had to be dealt with, and he was delivered over death for our sins. He died on the cross, and he was raised to life for our justification. In other words, just like you had never sinned. That's what justification is. So the power of the resurrection, it reconnects Christians to God. Do you realize that this morning? That same power that rose Christ from the dead, that's that same power that's living inside of you. It's the same spirit, it's the same power, and it's given to us so we can live out a unique relationship with others. Do you realize that this morning? It's given to us so that we can live out a unique relationship with others. And the resurrection answers that question that was part of my title: where am I going? And where are you going this morning? The resurrection is necessary because of our rebellion, our rebellious nature that we have, that broken connection that we once had with God. It's broken. And it needs to be reconnected. And as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it can be reconnected to God. We're not going to go there, but if you'll look and read and study in the book of Genesis and chapter 3, they walked and they talked and they had fellowship with God. It says there was communion with God. And then all of a sudden, sin came on the scene. They rebelled against God. They were disobedient to God, and as a result of that, they realized that they were naked. In verse 8, it tells us that they hid from the presence of the Lord. In verse 9, it tells us that God called out to them, and he says, "Where are you? Where are you?" Verse 10, they answer, and he says, "I'm afraid because I was naked." There's a few things that happen in this account here that they felt shame. They were ashamed to look at each other because their eyes had been opened, and they realized that they were naked, and they were ashamed to look at God. They were hiding from God. And they were also afraid of God. How many times in our lives have we felt ashamed? Have we felt afraid? Maybe that destructive power of shame and fear that comes into a relationship because of sin, because of maybe something that you've done to that person or that person that has done something to you. This disconnection here with God is passed on to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come." That's one thing that we cannot get away from today, that once you're born into this world, you are born a sinner, and you need a Savior. It doesn't matter how good a life or how good a person you are a sinner by birth. We have lost our intimacy with God, that relationship that they had, that communion that they had with God in the garden. We have lost that as a human race. And there needed to be something that was very powerful to get us back on track with God. And God had a plan. You know what it is? We need Jesus in our life. We need Jesus to connect us back to that God, to God that we had communion with. God connected us back to Him through Jesus Christ. Not only on what He did on the cross, but through the resurrection, by dying and being raised from the dead. Jesus proved that He was God. You realize that? By dying and then being raised from the dead, He proved that He was God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. It proved that He had the power to forgive sin. Now in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, look what it says. God demonstrated His love, His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we got cleaned up. You know how many times in our lives that we want to get everything straightened out, and we want to do this and we want to do that, and then we're going to start living a life for God. That's not how it works. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. You can't clean yourself up. You can't do this or you can't do that. You need to come to Jesus just the way you are. Amen. Jesus has the power to forgive sin, and He proved that when He rose from the dead. That power of the resurrection is an unconditional love. God loved Jesus. God loves us. And it's that love that is only powerful enough and strong enough to restore broken relationships. That's how we're reconnected to God. It's through the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection, it abolished death. It got rid of death. And when we believe in the resurrected Christ, all of a sudden you have a new outlook on life. Amen. And when you don't have a relationship with Christ, or maybe you have been born again, but you have lost that fellowship. You're not close intimacy with God. And I'm going to be very blunt. When you're like that, life pretty much sucks. Does it not? But when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all of a sudden life has new meaning. Why? Because you're reconnected to a holy and righteous God. that connection that we were supposed to have all along. And that's why all of a sudden everything starts falling in place in your life. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have no problems. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have no struggles, but all of a sudden, life makes sense. Another thing that we get from the resurrection, we are destined to live forever. Amen? We're destined to live in a new body. We're destined to live on a new earth. You realize that one day this earth is going to be renewed? Romans 8:18. Let's look at that. Because right now this earth is not new. Romans 8:18. Are you there? You there? Say amen.
Amen.
I consider, Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Man. You know, there's a lot of us that suffer here on this earth. And Paul says here that that's not worth comparing, that the glory that's going to be revealed in us. It's not that we're not going to suffer, but there's a better day coming. When the glory that's going to be revealed in you is there's not even any comparison, Paul says. You know, that is the message we need today. Because we live in a world that is hurting and that is suffering. And young people, that's the message that you need today. You need to message today that there is there's new life. And that there's a new world coming. And even though you may be suffering and this world may suck to you, this is not what it's all about. Amen? There's a better place and a better time a-coming, and that is the glory of Jesus Christ when it will be revealed in you. With that power of the resurrection, there's life after the grave because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I have something to look forward to. Because He lives, I have the strength to get through the next day. Amen? The power of the resurrection gives us a connection with each other. It overcomes any offense that someone may have done to you. It overcomes any offense that you may have done to someone else. Romans 15, verse 7. Look what it says. It says, Romans 15, verse 7 says, accept one another. Did you hear what that said? Accept one another. You know, oh, so-and-so that I work with, you want me to accept him?
Yep.
Accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring what?
Praise
to God. It's not about us. It's about Him. You know, we can be offended by people, and then we look at this passage of Scripture, and we wonder how we are to accept someone that we find difficult to love. And we all have times in our lives, I don't care who you are, that you're difficult to love, that I'm difficult to love. But when we look at this verse and it says accept one another, we can do it the same way that Jesus Christ accepts us. How did He accept us? Ephesians 4:32. When you're there, say amen. Ephesians 4:32. How are you going to accept someone? Just the way Christ accepted you.
Amen.
It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. How did God forgive you? In Christ, in what Christ did on the cross. Not only what Christ did on the cross, but in the resurrection. We can share that kindness and that forgiveness with others because Jesus has shared it with us. And God wants us to connect with others, just like He connected with us. Do you realize that the power of the resurrection is God's unconditional love to each one of us? Unconditional. That means that there's no strings attached. There's no limits on it. And it's that unconditional love that brought Jesus out of the grave. And it's that unconditional love, that God's love that's working in us and through us, that brings life into all of our relationships. All of them. The power of the resurrection is what gives you new life when you come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's God's unconditional love, that Jesus is alive. God loved Jesus and He loved us. And He connected us back together. And then we can have that blessed hope, not only in this life, but in the one to come. Because see, people get wrapped up in this heaven and hell thing. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I praise the Lord that it's just not about heaven and hell, but it's about a victorious life and a pleasing life and a happy life and a blessed life that you can live right here on this earth. And it does not matter what the devil throws at you, you have the Spirit of Christ and the love of Christ that you can overcome and enjoy life.
Amen.
I used to think that I enjoyed life. I didn't enjoy life. I thought I was. You do not begin to live life until you start living for Jesus. Amen. Now, back, and I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 4, let's go back. I want to review a little bit. We can't miss this, and we're going to close.
Amen.
You're fast, ain't you? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. I want to point out a few things here in this passage of Scripture that we read at the beginning. Abraham received. What did he receive? He received a promise. He received righteousness, and it tells us how that righteousness comes. It comes by faith. In verse 16, it tells us that promise comes by faith. And it also comes by grace. And it tells us that it may be guaranteed. There is a guarantee there written for each one of us. Verse 17 says that God who gives life to the dead. And all of a sudden, with that life, He calls things they're not as they once were. All things have become new. Verse 18 says that against all hope. You know, there's times in our lives that we feel like that we're against the world, that there's no hope there, that it's against all hope. But verse 20 says that through the promise, He strengthened His faith and He gave glory to God. You have the promise there. You have the guarantee. And if you stand obedient to God, He will strengthen your faith and it will give glory to God. It says here in verse 21 that He was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded what? That God had the power. God had the power to do what He had promised. And verse 22 tells us that it credited to him as righteousness. And verse 23 is the good part, and not for him only. Amen? It's for us. It's for us. We can have that credited to us. We can have that guarantee. Verse 24 says, also to us, God will credit you righteousness. And that's the only way you can have righteousness, is through the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did. That is the only way for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 25 tells us that he was delivered for our sins. There had to be a price to be paid for that sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ paid that price. He credited it to us. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. All you have to do is receive it. Raised to life for our justification, just like we had never sinned. How do you get that guarantee? How do you get that credit that God has given to each one of us? When you go in and get a bank loan, you sign your name on that piece of paper, agreeing to pay that back. It's the same thing except different. Wasn't that good English? It's the same thing but different. You sign your name on that piece of paper, acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, acknowledging that you're going to love him and serve him, acknowledging that he's going to be Lord of your life. But the other part of that is, you don't have to pay it back because it's already been paid. Okay. Amen? That promise he made for each one of us, credited to your account. Where's that account at? It's not here on this earth. It's in heaven. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know who holds tomorrow.